A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses spoke to the people and said, "Now, Israel, hear the statutes and decrees which I am teaching you to observe, that you may live and may enter in and take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, is giving you. Therefore, I teach you the statutes and decrees, as the Lord my God has commanded me, that you may observe them in the land you are entering to occupy. Observe them carefully, for thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations, who will hear of all these statutes and say, 'This great nation is truly a wise and intelligent people.' For what great nation is there that has gods so close to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? Or what great nation has statutes and decrees that are as just as this whole law which I am setting before you today? However, take care and be earnestly on your guard, not to forget the things which your own eyes have seen, nor let them slip from your memory as long as you live, but teach them to your children and to your children's children." Verum Domini. Praise the Lord, Jerusalem. Glorify the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He sends forth his command to the earth. Swiftly runs his word. He spreads snow like wool. Frost he strews like ashes.
Praise the Lord, Jerusalem.
He has proclaimed his word to Jacob, his statutes and his ordinances to Israel. He has not done thus for any other nation. His ordinances he has not made known to them.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Verbum Domini.
The first reading today from the book of Deuteronomy is taken from a lengthy exhortation delivered by Moses to the people of Israel. And throughout the season of Lent, the church accompanies Christ during his 40-day sojourn in the desert as he fasted and prayed. And this mystery of Jesus in the desert as he fasted and prayed, this mystery of Jesus in the desert is foreshadowed by the 40-year journey of the people of Israel in the desert following their liberation from slavery in Egypt. For over 400 years, the Israelites had been living in Egypt and had been subjected to cruel slavery and the harshest living conditions. The Lord had heard their cries for a savior, and he answered them by sending Moses to deliver them from Egypt and to bring them into the land God had promised to their fathers. And as with any people who has been living in a corrupt culture for an extended time, the people of Israel had adopted many of the corrupt, sinful practices of the Egyptians, including idol worship, and had been influenced by this culture of sin and selfishness. And thus, their 40-year sojourn in the desert was an extended period of trial, purification, and preparation that they might be ready to establish a new nation, one that is true to the covenant God had made with their fathers and is purified from sin and injustice. And the Lord intended to form a people peculiarly his own so that their righteousness, justice, and holiness would stand out from among the nations surrounding them. And it is in this context that Moses gives this exhortation in the first four chapters of Deuteronomy, calling on the people to make a choice. And we recall from the book of Exodus that the journey through the desert was not easy for Moses or for the people of Israel. The people had been tempted on numerous occasions to simply give up and to return to Egypt. Instead of showing gratitude to God for guiding them and providing them with food and water in the desert, they continually complain against God and against Moses. And they long to return to Egypt as they recall some of the rich, choice foods that they had enjoyed there, while apparently forgetting the brutal treatment they had suffered at the hands of Pharaoh, who not only abused them through harsh slavery, but even ordered the slaughter of their sons. They utterly lacked faith in the Lord, despite all the signs and wonders he had performed through Moses, both while in Egypt and during Israel's sojourn in the desert. He never failed to provide for their needs, but they were still too attached to certain material comforts. And thus Moses exhorts the people to listen carefully to the law of the Lord and to observe his statutes and decrees. In doing so, not only will the people of Israel enjoy peace and prosperity in the land they are entering to occupy, but as Moses says, thus will you give evidence of your wisdom and intelligence to the nations. If Israel is faithful to the Lord and obeys his commandments and precepts, the surrounding nations will witness their upright behavior and will recognize the power and wisdom of God's law. The law is not intended to place undue burdens upon the people of Israel. God does not liberate his people from slavery only to subject them to another type of slavery. Rather, it is through the law of God that they are to find authentic liberation from sin and from injustice. If the people were to truly follow the law of God, they would give witness to a reality that transcends our mere human existence and points to the ultimate reality that is found in God. The book of Deuteronomy even concludes with a list of blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And it is thus up to the people of God to make their choice, whether to obey God and his commandments, thereby choosing life, or to disobey his commandments and choose death. And even as God gives his people these commandments, they still retain their free will. One way or another, they will either enjoy the fruits of their obedience or suffer the consequences of disobedience. As we know from the Old Testament, the people do not ultimately choose the way of life, and the extent of their sin continues to spin out of control. And then in the gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus reaffirms the permanence of the law and the prophets. Although Jesus has come to establish a new and everlasting covenant and has lavishly poured out his mercy, poured out the mercy of God upon the people, he firmly reiterates the fact that he has not come to abolish the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. He fulfills the law not only by his perfect obedience to the Father, but also by offering himself as the perfect sacrifice, the perfect oblation for the forgiveness of sins. The sacrifice of Christ does not abolish the law and the prophets. We are still obliged in conscience to obey the Ten Commandments and to especially follow the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And yet the eternal punishment for disobedience has been remitted by the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. We have been liberated from sin and death once and for all. And those who approach the Lord with hearts that are truly contrite and humble are now blessed to serve the Lord in tranquility and peace, free from servile fear, fear of punishment. Although we are still bound to obey the eternal law of God, we are freed from the fear of death, especially eternal death, as we are drawn up with Christ through the Mass and offering his sacrifice to the Father. And this is an important point to bear in mind as we move into the second half of the season of Lent. The God that we serve is not a cold, distant judge or a mere lawgiver who looms over us and judges us harshly for even the slightest offenses we commit against him. Instead, our Lord has revealed to us that God is our loving Father. His law and his judgment come from a fatherly heart that truly loves his children and greatly desires to give them every good and perfect gift. He does not wish to judge or to condemn us for our sins, and he has shown that time and again. But he wishes to extend to us his healing grace and mercy through Jesus Christ, his Son. God is ever close to us as we call upon his name, beg for the forgiveness of our sins, pray for the grace to be obedient to his word and attentive to his will, and to seek to obey his law, thus bringing people closer to Christ and the church. And as St. John has beautifully said in the prologue to his gospel, for the law was given through Moses, grace and peace came through Jesus Christ. We are called as Christians to live according to this new covenant, this new dispensation of God's grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, and to extend this incredible grace and mercy to every person we encounter.